Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of pre-owned inventory. And a sales staff that is not just there for the sale, but they're there for you and for what you're looking for your future car. And you have a service department that is there for you for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with all the routine maintenance, all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It is a day of remembrance today around the sports world as we remember the legendary Vince Scully, who passed away late last night here on the East Coast at the age of 94, 6 years after he retired, after 67 years as the voice of the Dodgers, and of course did decades upon decades of World Series, NFL games, you name it. He defined play-by-play broadcasting. And we will be paying homage to him throughout the show today. Steve will share his sentiments, I'm sure, once he steps up here. I'll share mine. And we got some guests today to help us out. Tim Kurchin of ESPN. Of course, he was already scheduled to join us, so this timed out well, of course, for the wrong reasons. But he will join us today at 3:20, so he's coming up in just a little bit. And also we'll talk trade deadline with him as well. And we'll have Kenny Albert from Fox and TNT at 3:35 as we remember the legendary Vin Scully today, who passed away last night. There's many different ways that we'll all remember him, but for me, I kind of take a little bit of a different approach with him. Of course, there's everything there is with how his delivery, the storytelling, you know, the way he carried himself throughout his entire life, really. But I was always, Steve, pretty... I've developed a good respect about his strong faith. I was always touched by that and how he always leaned back on that as part of his legacy. But that's... not a lot of people say that, but that's kind of my unique viewpoint of how I remember one Vince Scully.
Is this your way of avoiding 7-1?
Yes. In fact, yes.
Just kidding.
And last night's Scully, disaster, too.
Vince Scully had a very strong faith, and not only that, he provided for all of us in this profession the blueprint as to how to go about it. All right, that's Vince Scully. A life well-lived. Faith, of course, was an important part for him. As you mentioned, he could take ordinary and make it fun to listen to. He could take special and spectacular and put the exclamation point on it. That, I mean, he is the best, in my opinion, in this business I've ever heard. I was on a plane. I never met him. Never was in the same room with him. Never had the privilege. Always wanted to. Never did. And the we were going to Michigan State for football. And Jack, I read two biographies, and I was reading Vin Scully's biography. It was the second one I was reading. And Jack came up, he says, "Sam, what are you reading?" You know, just on the plane. I said, "Well, I'm reading Vin Scully's biography." He goes, "Really?" He says, "Wow, great topic." He says, "Just, you know," he said, what interests you about the topic?" And I said, "Jack, I think he's the best that this profession's ever had. And I like to read about those who are great at what we do." I said, "And see what they thought, what they bring to the table, what their approach is." And I said, because I think it can help me as to what I'm doing to read about somebody who is phenomenal beyond words at it. And Vin Scully was all that. Well prepared. Oh, and he had the innate ability. When you're doing baseball, you can't do this in football or basketball because the plays are fast and furious. Baseball, you have time. Never start a story when you're getting near the end of an inning. Vin had the ability that he'd start the story and the guy at the plate would foul off five in a row. Some people just have that luck. And incredible. We're going to have Tim Kirchner. We're going to talk about that. Trade deadline, his trip to Cooperstown. I know we're not going to have him for long, but we'll have him on to talk about all that and more. That Cole was really good today. No?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
What did I try to tell you yesterday?
Yes, I know.
What did I tell you? Not America's biggest big game picture.
No.
All right, we'll take a break. Tim Kirchner next as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. He is justifiably recognized now in Cooperstown because he loves his profession and he loves the sport he covers, and it's recognized. Tim Kirchner, from us to you, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Steve. That was a unforgettable weekend. It was overwhelming. It was overpowering. I still can't believe this has happened to me, but it was so good, and I'll never forget any second of the time I spent in Cooperstown.
My next 2 points are going to be about two legendary Dodgers, one in the booth and one that pitched. You wrote over, I was listening to your Brewers Red Sox broadcast, so I've got to, you know, I was listening to your story about going over on the bus with Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax is somebody who doesn't like to talk about what he did as a pitcher and so forth. And you talked basketball with him because people don't realize that Sandy Koufax walked on at the University of Cincinnati as a basketball player. What was that experience for 15 minutes talking about something that Sandy Koufax wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I was a little surprised when he came up to me and very elegant, regal-looking man and said, "Can I sit next to you?" So I said, "Of course." And Sandy, I just didn't think he was in the mood for, you know, "Hey, you really had a great curveball," or "You went 97 and 27 for the last 4 years." So I love basketball also. So I just figured I'm going to call an audible here and ask him about basketball, because I've talked to him plenty of times, but never about basketball. So I asked him if he still watches the game, and then he said yes. And I asked him if he could dunk it easily when he was in college. And he showed me his giant hands, which I've already seen before. Those giant hands allowed him to manipulate the baseball and throw that spectacular curveball. And I knew he had long arms, but he showed me his arms, and he said, I have a 37-inch sleeve here. And he said, with these really long arms and these giant hands, I could palm a basketball and dunk a basketball easily, even though he was only 6 feet tall. So I can't even begin to tell you how fun that was to have a 15-minute conversation with Sandy Koufax about something that I think he really enjoyed, and I'm not sure he would have enjoyed a baseball conversation nearly as much.
How often did you go over that speech? Because it was brilliant. How often did you go over it?
I did it probably 200 times. I did it 200 times alone. I did it 200 times out loud, and I just had to make sure that no matter what, the words were going to come to me. Otherwise, that could have been a disaster. Now, I had the whole speech and my notes in front of me, but I made it an effort not to look down, and since I memorized it, having read it 200 times, practiced it 200 times, I actually got through it without falling over, and that's a victory, believe me.
It was worth it. It was outstanding. Vince Scully, in my part of the profession, I feel like he gave all of us in the profession a blueprint as to how to do it. And I always felt like he could take the ordinary and make it fun, and he could take the spectacular and put the exclamation point on it. What were your interactions like with him?
Well, I enjoyed every one of them, because I recognized and realized who I was talking to. He is the greatest baseball broadcaster of all time. He did it for 67 years. He's the greatest storyteller I've ever heard. His grasp of the English language is just breathtaking, and the way he presented things were just different than any other broadcaster that I've ever heard. He once said that he wanted to do a broadcast as if he was sitting in the stands, sitting in between a couple of Dodger fans, baseball fans, and, you know, he would be broadcasting the game, and the fans would be interested, but they would be interested in other things, the weather and food and travel and everything else. And that's what Vin was so amazingly good at, is that he could weave a story about something other than baseball into a baseball play-by-play. I've never seen anybody do it better than him. And that's why I think, you know, that connection with the fans, you start thinking about the greatest Dodgers of all time in some form or another, I think it's Jackie Robinson and Vin Scully and Sandy Koufax, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, that's a great list to start with, Tim. Also, did he ever give you any advice on the profession?
Well, when I was a really young baseball writer, 1982, I was a beat guy, and I met him, and he casually asked me, so, you know, tell me about yourself. So I told him quickly who I was, where I was from, and his advice was, as a young writer, I should try to write like I talk. And he said, if you do that, then you will be genuine and sincere. So try whatever you can to make sure that you write like you talk. And I've never forgotten that. And he sure didn't have to spend any time with me. I was about 25 years old at the time, and he took a few minutes to help me, and I'll never forget it.
And great advice, and you've lived it out. Tim, now the trade deadline. Yesterday was a lot of fun. The last couple of days have been a lot of fun. In the end, I'll start with the Phillies, since we'll take the local team first. Do you feel like the Phillies are a better team today than they were on Saturday?
Yes, absolutely. Noah Syndergaard was a great pickup. He hadn't had a great year. He doesn't throw as hard as he used to, but they didn't give up an enormous amount, and they added, I think, still a quality starting pitcher who has pitched in the World Series before and is certainly not afraid of anything. And I think that was great. The way they upgraded their bullpen with David Robertson was important. Now they can mix and match at the end of a game with not just two, but maybe three guys now. They also upgraded their defense with Brandon Marsh and Edmundo Sosa, and they really needed to upgrade their defense. So I really like what they did. I like the way they've been playing lately, and now I like them even more. And I would say at this point, I think the Phillies are going to make the playoffs. Anything can happen. Things can change. But I like where how they've been playing, and I really like what they did the last few days.
San Diego obviously did not just one, but they made a couple of huge deals along the way. Hader first, gave up a lot. And then the Sosa Bell deal, how good now can San Diego be? Because at some point, Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back.
Yeah, I think with Juan Soto and Josh Bell going to the Padres, they have gone from a team that I think would have made the playoffs to a team that I think can be dangerous, very dangerous, in October. Now, they're not the Dodgers. The Dodgers are better, I believe, than anyone. Dodgers have won 25 of their last 30 games. They won their 70th game last night. They are loaded, and they've got help coming with their pitching. But the Padres, once Tatis Jr. comes back, and they can go Tatis Jr., Soto, Manny Machado, and follow him up with a bunch of other guys, that lineup will get demonstrably better. It's a really good pitching staff, and Josh Hader gives them a weapon in the ninth inning that teams have. So I really like what the Padres did, but you know the Mets are really good in the National League. So are the Braves.
Yep.
Brewers
yep.
have great pitching. I told you the Dodgers are great. So this doesn't guarantee anything for the Padres, but it put them in the discussion in October as a team that can get to and win the World Series. And I'm not sure we could have said that 2 days ago.
When I look at the Yankees and the moves they've made over the last how many months, Connor Falefa, Donaldson, Trevino, now they add in Harrison Bader, who started his career here in State College, as a matter of fact. It feels like every single one of them, you know, they can hit. But it seemed like it was an upgrade defensively. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, you're right. The infield defense this year has been so much better than it was last year, which is one reason why they have pitched so well for most of this season. When a pitcher isn't sure if that ball is going to get caught, he's going to pitch differently. But when he knows, if I put the ball in the grass here, we're not only getting an out, we're getting two outs potentially. And now they've upgraded their outfield because Andrew Benintendi, who they got over a week ago, and Harrison Bader are both Gold Glove outfielders. So I love what the Yankees have done. I'm still not sure why they traded Jordan Montgomery. That's a bit of an iffy thing for me. But I like where they are right now because, A, they're really good, but you don't win in October with a bad defense or a subpar defense. And their defense is way better than it was last year.
I'll close out with this, and it's about the Orioles, who got the fan base down there excited about some of the young players, the progress they made, two games out of the wild card. How do you explain what they've done?
I don't think I can, Steve. That's the beauty of baseball. They finished 39 games out of fourth place last year. It's only the second team in history that's ever finished that far behind the next worst team in their league or division. And off of that, somehow, miraculously, they have gotten themselves into playoff contention. Now, their bullpen has been great. That's the biggest reason. Their starting pitching hasn't been great, but it's been much better than last year. And they can score some runs because they've got some pretty good offensive players on that team. And ever since Adley Rutschman showed up behind the plate, they've been a different team. Now, I'm not suggesting they're going to make the playoffs, but they've taken a major step forward to getting back into contention and being a representative club in the American League East. It's really impressive how they did it, and I repeat, it's hard to explain how they went from that bad to pretty good overnight.
Well, Tim, from us to you, congratulations. It's always great with someone who combines skill, which you have, with passion, and others end up recognizing it. From us to you, congratulations. It's so well-deserved.
Well, thanks so much, Steve. I'll talk to you soon.
Tim Kirchen joining us from ESPN. Kenny Albert is coming up next as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motor.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today, sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. And great to be joined by another one that's among the absolute best in the business, and that's Kenny Albert. Kenny, great to have you with us. Hope you're enjoying your summer.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I do have to start with Vin Scully. I said earlier, I feel like he gave all of us the blueprint as to how to do certain things in this job. Now, you grew up around it because your father is in the same category. Your thoughts on Vin Scully's life and career?
Well, I think similar to you and so many of the listeners, never turned down the opportunity to listen or watch one of his broadcasts. He was like a poet. I tweeted earlier, it was a perfect game whenever Vin Scully stepped into a broadcast booth. Best ever, certainly in the sport of baseball. Heard so many stories about him while I was growing up, and then having the opportunity to be around him a little bit when I started working baseball games back in the late 90s, did not know him at all. Had one conversation with him, which I'll get to in a moment, which was so memorable. But I worked several years with Jeff Torborg in the late 90s on Fox cable baseball games on Thursdays and Saturdays. And Jeff had played for the Dodgers for nearly a decade back in the 60s and early 70s. And he was behind the plate when Sandy Koufax pitched the perfect game in 1965. And that's one of the Vin Scully moments that people refer to all the time. How perfect it was during that ninth inning at Dodger Stadium. So I would hear so many stories from Jeff Torborg about Vin Scully and their days together. And whenever we had a Dodgers game, Jeff would always go over and spend time, but I didn't know him at all, and I felt like I was intruding if I went over to sit down and join in the conversation. Yeah. So I would stay over at my table. The only conversation I really ever had with him was in 2016, which was his last year. And I was out there to work a Dodgers game, and on a Friday night, I inquired with a couple of the people that worked with Vin Scully in his booth if it would be possible to take a picture, just to have as a memory. And I had heard that people were doing this all year long, opposing broadcasters, players, even managers and coaches. They would go up to the press box and have the chance to take a photo with Vin. And they told me, sure, come by tomorrow. He'll be there to do radio because I was working the TV broadcast. And if you come at 10:50, he'll have 5 minutes for you. And they would slot it out. Five or six people every game prior to the game would have a five-minute time slot. So I went in there, and they did not let us take photos on the cell phone. They wanted it to be perfect. So they actually had a photographer with a real camera who took the picture of you and Vin, and he would send it to you on a file later on. So it was a professional photo, and then there was an opportunity just to chat for 2 minutes or so, and I'm sure he was asked so many of the same questions that year about his favorite games and memories and Jackie Robinson, et cetera. I came from a totally different angle, and you'll appreciate this, Steve. I had seen an interview that Vin had done with Bob Miller, the great longtime Los Angeles Kings broadcaster. Yep. And they talked a little bit about hockey. And Vin was a childhood fan of the New York Rangers, the team that I work for. And during this interview with Bob Miller, he reminisced about going to games back in his high school days. So when I was in the booth, right after we took the photo, I said, I just have one question for you. I do the radio for the New York Rangers. I heard your interview with Bob Miller. What do you remember about those days? And without missing a beat, and this was 70-plus years later, after Vin Scully was in high school, attending Rangers games, he said to me, and I'm not going to even try to imitate his voice because I wouldn't do it any justice, but in that magical tone, he told me that he used his high school ID to get into MSG, and then he started rattling off names of Davey Kerr and Brian Hextall and Lester Patrick and some of the other Rangers from the late 30s and early 40s who he watched play. And there's no way he anticipated this question. He probably hadn't thought about these names for 70 years, and they came, you know, back in his memory like it was yesterday. So, again, I was probably the only one to ever ask him that question, but he gave me the perfect answer.
You know, it's interesting because it was announced today that Eli Gold, who does Alabama football, is going to have to miss at least the first month. And I've known Eli for a long time. Eli grew up in New York, and he would get into the Garden, the old Garden, then the new one, you know, the newer one, and he'd sit in the last row because he was a huge Rangers fan. It's a lot of things that he's the Alabama play-by-play guy.
Right.
So he was a huge Rangers guy, too.
No, it's great. It's great to hear some of the old stories. And you referenced my father earlier. He was an intern for the Brooklyn Dodgers before they moved to Los Angeles.
Really?
In the mid-1950s. He was 14 or 15 years old. And among his duties, most of the games were played in the afternoon back then, so he would listen to Vin Scully when the team was on the road. And he would update a manual scoreboard that was facing out onto the street at Ebbets Field. So as an intern, he updated the scoreboard during the day. He also would bring tickets when they played several games a year in Jersey City. He would have to bring the tickets over on the subway, and the team would give him a ride back on the bus. And he's told me on several occasions he would sit right in front of Jackie Robinson, and they had a number of discussions. He was like 15 years old at the time. But the Vin Scully story that he always tells, he would start – during his days as an intern, he would have access to the press box at Ebbets Field, so he would bring his tape recorder. He had this, you know, big reel-to-reel tape recorder back in the mid-50s, and he would bring it to Dodgers home games, and he would bring along one of his brothers or friends to do color, and they would sit in an empty booth right next to the Dodgers broadcast booth. And it turned out they were so enthusiastic and, I guess, somewhat loud doing the game into the tape recorder, that Vin Scully asked them to move down a couple of booths because the audio was bleeding into his broadcast. But that's a true story that I've heard for about the last, you know, 50 years about his days as a Dodger intern sitting in the booth next to Vin Scully practicing into a recorder.
Kenny, NBC did a great job with hockey for years. So let's not, for the audience out there, this is not a comparison, but TNT got into the hockey business this year. Kenny, year one's in the books. How does everybody feel about how it went from the Turner point of view?
Everybody feels great, and I totally agree with you, and I'm biased because I worked there, but NBC did an unbelievable job for 15 years, A-plus as far as the presentation of the games. You know, Doc Emrick, Eddie Olczyk, Pierre Maguire, Brian Boucher, so many others, top-notch broadcasters. And NBC introduced the between-the-glass position, which has probably led to 30 or 40 jobs around the NHL. That never existed before. And to me, one of the biggest aspects, Steve, NBC was the first network in the United States to put every playoff game on television.
Yes.
Prior to that, every game wasn't on nationally. So that was a major leap during the NBC years. But Turner, and I'm so fortunate to be a part of it, I feel like, you know, we've taken the baton from NBC and hope to raise everything even higher. It was a great first year. Enjoyed working with Eddie Olczyk and Keith Jones and many of the others who joined us as well. Wayne Gretzky did a game with us up in Hamilton, Ontario. Darren Pang was with us during the playoffs for some of the games. But, you know, I love what they did with the pregame show, bringing them out on the road during the conference final. That was a lot of fun being around those guys. And I sensed the players really enjoyed doing the pregame interviews with the studio gang, with Wayne Gretzky and Paul Bissonnette and Anson Carter and Rick Tocchet, Liam McHugh. You know, it brought out the personalities of some of the players. We did three outdoor games. This year we'll have the Stanley Cup final. So totally agree with you. NBC did an unbelievable job. And hopefully we can raise the bar even higher this past year and for the next 6 years moving forward.
Before I get to the winner, what should it tell us in this era with free agency, expansion drafts, that the Tampa Bay Lightning won 11 consecutive series?
And Pat Maroon won, what, 14 straight, 15
yeah,
straight?
Yeah, 14. 15,
as an individual.
Yeah.
No, they're a great franchise. You know, I remember growing up on Long Island when the Islanders were winning 19 in a row, which might never be matched ever again, when they won the Cups in 83, 83, and then went deep into the Stanley Cup Final in 84. No, what Tampa Bay has done is remarkable. You know, not only winning the Cup two straight years, getting to the final this year, but also got to the final in 2015 with a number of the same players who were still around. So that's four finals in 8 years, which is hard to do. Like you said, in the salary cap era, you have 32 teams. You know, they battled back, down 2-0 to the Rangers, down 2-0 in Game 3. Were able to win that series, and then, you know, there's certainly no shame in losing to the Colorado Avalanche in the Stanley Cup Final. Now, moving forward, they've lost a couple of key players. They couldn't keep everybody due to the cap restrictions. So Ryan McDonough is in Nashville. Andre Palat is in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll still be a very formidable team, you know, especially with Andre Vasilevsky in goal and Victor Hedman and Kucherov and Stamkos and Braden Point right on down the line. But it's not going to be easy. You know, we see the improvements the Florida Panthers made during the offseason and so many of the other teams. But definitely a tip of the cap to the Tampa Bay Lightning for what they've been able to accomplish.
What do you think it meant for the league in general that the Rangers were there, that the Connor McDavid won rounds, that Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, you know, the star power advanced and was a big part of what was going on. What do you think that meant for the league?
Absolutely. You know, I don't think the league roots for any teams to win or lose,
yeah.
But we actually, that's a great point, Steve. We were talking about that during the conference final. The fact that you had in the East, Tampa Bay, the two-time defending champions, the New York Rangers in the number one market, and then in the West, the series that I work on the TV side, Colorado, a great team that had not been able to get out of the second round for four straight years, but with some superstar players led by Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. And then Edmonton, even though they're you know, a Canadian team and it might affect the TV ratings, but to get to watch Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, I sensed that the hockey fans around the country, not only in those four markets, you know, around North America, we're just so into it. You know, in New York, when the Rangers advance that far, they might not be on the back page of the newspaper more than once or twice during the regular season.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of sports in New York now. You know, baseball and football have become year-round sports. Basketball is huge. With you know, the Knicks improving last year, making the playoffs 2 years ago, and the whole Nets situation with Durant and Kyrie Irving, you know, that news cycle never seems to end. So it's tough for hockey to break onto the back page of the Post or the Daily News during the regular season. But in the playoffs, it seemed like every other day, which was great. You know, people who aren't even rabid hockey fans were paying attention, and you could feel the buzz in the city. I was up in Edmonton. It was just such a tremendous atmosphere, Colorado as well. So I'm not sure you could have had four more, you know, the combination of four teams in the conference final, you know, at this time for the NHL than they had last year. You know, there have been years in the past. There was a Carolina-Edmonton final, a Tampa Bay-Calgary final back in the early 2000s. So that might not have, you know, brought out the highest numbers in the television ratings. But, you know, then we started to see, you know, Pittsburgh and Detroit two straight years, Chicago, L.A. and New York, a lot of the big markets in the Stanley Cup final, which can only help promote the sport. And the ratings were great this year on both TNT and ESPN, and hopefully that continues moving forward.
How excited are you to get the NFL rolling again?
It's time. We had our Fox seminar out in L.A. over the last couple of days. Just got back yesterday, so it was great to see everybody. aside from our own crew, you don't see the others at all during the course of the year. So to be able to spend some time with Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long and Jimmy Johnson and Sean Payton, you know, all the guys from the pregame shows, and not only to be with my partner, Jonathan Vilma, but to see so many of the other great broadcasters, the play-by-play, the analysts, the color commentators, the sideline reporters, and some of the other crews. So that got the blood flowing a little bit. So it's just around the corner, and can't wait to get started.
Kenny, thanks so much for your time. You know how much I appreciate the time and you very much.
Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate it. Hope to chat frequently throughout the year. And I know Penn State football is just around the corner, so have a great season.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime.
Kenny Albert. I think the show's off to a pretty good start.
I would definitely agree. Yeah. Not bad.
And not only that, but the Yankees are struggling today.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Bottom of the ninth, though. Down 7-3. They've got a chance. The tying run is in the dugout.
They love to make it interesting this year, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
They may have 70 wins, but they've definitely loved to make things interesting and down to the wire.
We'll see if they can get the Seawald here in the ninth inning or not. All right. By the way, bad news for women's basketball. Did you see this?
Oh, I know. Brutal. Oh.
Paige Beckers of UConn tore her ACL in a pickup game Monday. She is out for the year.
Sick to your stomach when you hear something like that.
I hate that. Hate it. I've always hated when somebody, it just, when I see somebody gets hurt and is out of a game, let alone the year. Such a talent. Ugh.
And I'd argue really one of the staple makers now of growing the women's game, too, right now, currently.
No, she's part of it. No question. No question. But, all right. Wow. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Third and 3. We'll see a pick of some kind on the right side, possibly.
Montana, looking, throwing in the end zone.
He was great at football, he was great at golf, he was great at everything. And on that, it was the setup. He said the Cowboys are defending 6 yards to get to their, whatever it was, their 4th or 5th Super Bowl. He said the 49ers are 6 yards from Pontiac. Beautiful setup. And by the way, the Yankees lost 7-3.
They did,
So the Mariners took 2 out of 3 without their best player, Julio Rodriguez, even playing. Wow.
Yeah, not good.
Wow.
Very close to hitting the panic button on one, Gerrit Cole.
Again, this is what I say about really good pitchers. To great pitchers, and Cole's in that category. You have to get them early. If you don't, you won't get them. They got them early today.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.